Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
Welcome back. Richard, my voice is a little off today.
What is it with your voice?
We're recording on Sunday morning.
Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Saturday, I spent the day at the soccer fields.
None of this is true.
And then,
he actually sings at the Holiday Inn on Saturday nights. This is his Barry White
only.
Voice. We
went to a soccer match last night.
Oh, that's right.
And so my voice, so for all of them that we record today, my voice is going to be nice and...
Really? You have a little
kind of raspy
kind of thing.
It feels raspy.
Because you're tired. Were you screaming at the game?
Well, cheering.
Were you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was an exciting match.
You know, the thing about soccer is this vocabulary.
Uh-huh.
It's a match played on a pitch with players wearing boots.
Right. Yeah.
Strange vocabulary.
Why is that strange?
It should be a game. Everything else is a game on a field with shoes or cleats, you know, like football cleats, baseball spikes, boots,
spikes,
like little booties,
and like soccer. Cowboy boots.
No,
they're not little booties.
Boots, these little boots you wear.
Whatever. You know what? I'm gonna make you more cultured eventually.
I have to say, it is. It's a game that moves much faster and than American sports.
Yeah.
In fact, in American baseball, they had to speed up the pitchers.
I know.
They had a new rule. Say, you guys can't, and the batters, they would step out of the box and do their gloves.
Yeah.
That's not about what our topic is today.
It's
so that's why you have this voice today.
Right.
Because you stayed up late. Or you
were
cheering loudly.
I was up late. It was, traffic was horrible.
Oh,
I mean,
my gosh.
This week we're going to talk about self-regulation.
Talk about
the need for self-regulation.
I don't have any when I get in traffic.
We travel about an hour to get to the stadium where Orlando City plays. I left at 5:30 for the 7:30 kickoff. All right, kickoff is at 7:30 because we figured we wanted to get there early, see the stadium.
So it's typically a one hour ride.
We were late. We didn't get to our seats until the match had already been going on for about 20 minutes.
Wow.
By the time we got to our seats.
8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then to get home, the match was over at 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
I texted you at
12:15 or something.
Yeah. It took us that long to get home. It was...
I couldn't figure out where you were that you would have gotten home that late.
Yeah.
When I first saw the message, I thought... Where was he that he got home that late? I thought you'd gone to the beach or something.
No.
Just to Orlando.
Less than an hour
away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so frustrating. So
you exercised self-regulation.
Yes.
Okay. That's actually a good example.
Oh man, it was rough. So, but yes, we're going to talk this week about self-regulation and why it's important and you know, sort of the different types of self-regulation and all of that. But we're going to start out today with sort of a definition of what self-regulation is, because we do hear a lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked a lot about it,
right?
But we really haven't spent much time talking about what it is and, you know, sort of some specifics associated with it.
Right.
So today we're going to talk about, we're going to pull some information from a website from the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, and it's entitled Self-Regulation, but it's through their Special Education and Communication Disorders department.
Right.
But it's a nice webpage that has a nice little outline.
Nice little service. It's a nice, succinct, well-organized, easy to read, sensible.
Yeah.
Article that kind of gives you an overview of self-regulation. Self-regulation, there's been maybe 8 to 10,000 entries on Google. It's an enormous field of study now. It has become so in the last 20 years. So it's a nice service that this department from the University of Nebraska presents this nice little structured summary of self-regulation.
Absolutely. So let's start out with a definition. And the definition that they post here actually comes from probably the most reputable source.
Yeah, he's the acknowledged, Barry Zimmerman is the acknowledged expert on this topic.
Mm-hmm. And he defines self-regulation as the self-directive process through which learners transform their mental abilities into task-related skills.
Right, and one of the things, when he elaborates on that, he says it really isn't an ability in itself. Mm-hmm. He said it's a process that we use. And so he said it's better if you don't think of it as just an ability that can be taught,
right?
But it's a process that we have to develop over time,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're going to work to emphasize that over the next couple of days, mm-hmm. But yeah, that's what it is, and the reason that it's important that we think about and right. talk about self-regulation mm-hmm. is because it is that process, it is necessary. Research suggests that it's necessary mm-hmm. in just about everything that we do.
That's right. What it is. So we give a definition of what self-regulation is. Why do we study it? Why is it important? Well, the why question is, self-regulation is an essential component mm-hmm. of behavioral control, behavioral right. self-control, behavior management. It's also the foundation of learning. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we talk about being self-directed learners or self-motivated learners. In order to be, that's the goal. You know, mm-hmm. parents say, well, I want them to love learning for itself, mm-hmm. not right. for the reward. Self-regulated learning requires self-regulation, this broad mm-hmm. umbrella type of process right. that Barry Zimmerman and others talk about. And so it's important, it's absolutely essential in both areas of our life. Typically, we think of self-regulation in terms of teaching children self-regulation, right. but it applies across the lifespan. We'll right. talk about that later in the week.
Yeah.
Adults also need to have exercise self-regulation. I'm thinking of managers and CEOs and people who are in charge of other people.
And people driving to soccer matches.
Road rage. It's a classic example, though. You know, you could have gotten all agitated and worked up last night and started to exhibit some road rage. But you have this ability to contain those emotions.
Yeah.
Self-regulation.
Absolutely.
You have a lot of self-regulation.
I try.
I don't know.
What?
No, that was a compliment, so I won't take it back. I was going to say it's the only part. No, you have a lot of self-regulation. You have an abundance of self-regulation, and for somebody with ADHD, mm-hmm. that's no easy task.
It's not.
So you've had to work at it.
I did. I try.
Because with ADHD, your natural tendency would be to have less self-regulation.
Right. Right. And we'll talk about that over the course of the week as well. But it is it's difficult, and it's there are circumstances mm-hmm. where for all of us self-regulation is more or less of an easy task. Mm-hmm. As you were saying, it's important across the lifespan.
Right.
And because of that, although we primarily focus and think about self-regulation as it relates to kids.
Right.
This is actually something for everyone.
Exactly.
This is a skill. This is a set of processes
right.
that is critical for everyone mm-hmm. in, again, most areas of our life.
That's right. So that's the what and the why. And the who right. is, I think it applies to, I think of a parent, mm-hmm. Parent who doesn't work outside the home, who's primarily right. responsible for the children, especially if you have several young children, mothers mm-hmm. who have a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 5-year-old, and they're all at home, and maybe one of them has the flu, and one of them is going, that takes, parents have to exercise mm-hmm. self-regulation. Mm-hmm. Athletes, one of the things we don't like to see is athletes throwing temper tantrums, throwing gloves and throwing bats and banging tennis rackets. And in many sports, there are sanctions.
Right.
Some have, tennis, I think, has more sanctions than some sports, but
also tennis has a history of some of the best examples. I mean, John McEnroe,
of the
for example.
Worst. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
They throw rackets and they break rackets and they scream at umpires. And they do. They're those who have violated the basic tenets of tennis. But most sports have these kind of sanctions, you know, you, to keep players safe and to keep some decorum. And so whether it's in sports or parenting or, and I mentioned earlier about CEOs of companies or managers or supervisors who have to be so careful about teachers, you know, who have to self-regulate, who can't let things bother them.
Right.
So self-regulation is important in all areas and across ages.
Right. And so there's, as is presented here on this webpage, there's four components of self-regulation. And the first is self-monitoring. So, you know, to be able to self-regulate, you have to be able to look at your behavior, look at your what you're doing, look at your the setting in which you're in, and determine whether or not your behavior or your decisions are appropriate.
That's right. You need to be monitoring your internal state to make sure that you don't really, like, I'm sure you did that last night. You had to be constantly be monitoring your, because you weren't alone, were you?
No.
And so you had to also be mindful of other people who could be offended if you lost it. And, you know, and so, so you have to, but you have to, but you have to be able to monitor and label what you're feeling. The problem with young children, very young children, is they don't, they can't label the emotions they're feeling. They get an emotion and they unload it on somebody. It's because they don't yet have the vocabulary to say, I'm angry instead of some other word, you know.
The second is called self-instruction. All right. So this is the idea that, again, we're informing ourselves. We are, you know, following a, I'm trying to think of how to best summarize this. It's, you know, you're instructing yourself, you're giving yourself the cues and the...
With self-talk. You know, we have these conversations with self-talk. Ourselves. And one of the things that with young children, we'll talk about this later, is that they internalize their parents' voices. You know, and you say, well, what should I do next? And, well, that's not going to work, so maybe I should do this. Young children say that out loud. Adults say that to themselves. And you have to be instructing yourself. And again, let's use last night as an example. You're sitting there thinking, okay, the best thing to do in this situation is this. What I have to do now is this. And you're talking to yourself to keep yourself calm.
Self-talk was the word I couldn't, wasn't coming to mind, because it is, and you can see this with kids, because when with young ones, they verbalize it out loud, and it's so interesting to hear them say, nope, don't do that.
You have some young nieces and nephews, don't you? And don't you hear them say, no, we're gonna put you in time out?
There
must be two or three or something. Well, all they're doing is they're vocalizing what they have heard, what their parents have said. No, that's making bad choices. No, you're going to go into timeout. They verbalize that. And eventually, by age 4 or 5, they internalize that. And then they have this inner voice saying it to them. They don't say it out loud, but they have this internal speech.
Now, the next component is goal setting. And so, you know, when you're thinking about self-regulation, you have to think about the ultimate goal, what you're trying to get to.
What do I really want here? I just want the car to be washed.
You know?
What's the goal here? You've said this often on these in these podcasts. You can huff and puff all you want. I just want the bedroom to be cleaned. But this isn't about manners and decorum and it's about getting the room cleaned.
And you know, sometimes we get so hung up on the minutia of the process that it's, you know, let's just focus on the goal. I don't care if you're really happy about it. I'm not happy about washing the dishes either. But as long as the dishes are getting washed.
How many times have you heard that a parent say, well, yeah, he did it, but then he gave me a smart comment, or he didn't do it willingly.
And
Well, doing it willingly is different. So don't mix task completion with some other behavioral characteristic.
Exactly.
If you want to deal with the behavioral characteristic, that's a different training program.
Right.
If you just want the room cleaned, it's this training program.
Right. And if you want them to be happy about it, then you have to release the reins and let him do it the way that he wants to do it, right. At the time that he wants to do it.
Well, he should do it willingly. Most of us don't do odious tasks willingly.
How many of your chores do you do willingly?
I mean, I don't want to go home and wash the pollen off my car today, but at some point I'm going to have to.
Right.
I do it, but there are other things I'd rather do.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, the last component is self-reinforcement. Mm-hmm. And, it's important that we reinforce ourselves. It's important that we tell ourselves a good job, that we did regulate ourselves, that we are working towards our goals, that we're, we internalize some of that self-talk and that we just made the good choices.
I feel better about this now.
Right.
When I finally do the task,
right.
I'm going to feel better. I don't have to give myself anything.
Right.
It's kind of silly. But I can reward myself emotionally and say, okay, you did it. You survived. You persevered and you did it. Good job.
Yeah. Exactly. So you have those four components: the self-monitoring, the self-instruction, mm-hmm. the goal setting, and the self-reinforcement. Right. Mm-hmm. And with those four, you are well on your way to healthy self-regulation. Mm-hmm. Again, these are things that we have to directly teach.
That's right.
Because they're not going to do it naturally.
Yeah, when we talk about the development of self-regulation, we're talking about the development of these four components.
Right.
And if children don't acquire them naturally, then we have to do a little more instruction.
Right.
Some kids just kind of absorb this.
Right.
We don't even know how, they just do. Mm-hmm. It's like some kids read without instruction. Mm-hmm. Okay. It just happens. But most children need some type of instruction or modeling or reinforcement to acquire these mm-hmm. abilities.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Absolutely. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow.
Yes, throughout the week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right. That is it then for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We'd be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.